The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton rolled down Manhattan and the rest of the boroughs to some easy wins, and of course outside of the island, all over New York. In New York State presidential nominating contest, oh, what a Tuesday it certainly was. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, right from the get-go, we have one of my favorites, Bob Ney, former congressman from Ohio, from Talk Media News, to really put this in perspective for us. Bob, big wins for Trump and Clinton in New York. What does it mean?
Well, Kate, nice to be with you. And this is a biggie. Tonight is seriously a turning point. Of course, Trump won big. If you look at what's ahead, this is going to be a Trump April month. This is giving me momentum. By the way, he didn't say Lion Ted tonight. He said Senator Cruz. You kind of
wow.
See a new Trump. Plus, he reshuffled the campaign. He didn't fire Lewandowski. Lewandowski got through the worst of things. But he's rearranged the deck, and he's hired some experts. He just hired Don McGahn, who is an old guy around the Republican National Committee, et cetera. They're going into convention mode. So he's restructured his campaign. He didn't do what candidates do. He's got a campaign problem. It all falls apart. He just moved through it. And that's an important point. What's ahead for him? New Jersey, West Virginia. Okay. I can't see a Cruz victory. Here's the bottom line of this entire ball game. California. Oh, that's where the gold is. Because if he comes out of California and he's got a nice win, he's getting, you know, into a large vote, I think he walks into convention potentially at 1237, but more likely at, let's say, 1175, all right? And he's 1237. What is his first book, The Art of the Deal? That's where he cuts some deals, and he may actually make first round because he cuts some deals with delegates that are freed up at that point in time. If he doesn't, he's still ahead in the ballgame. Now, I'm not saying, Kate, it's done, but wow, what a turn this has taken. And Ted Cruz, look, John Kasich beat him in New York tonight. Remember Cruz said, hey, if you give me one-on-one, what do I do? Well, you know, John Kasich beat him.
Yeah.
Now, on to Hillary Clinton. This is a whole different dynamic. Sure, she won. She won big. Bernie's not going to stop. Bernie Sanders is not going to quit.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders is going to go all the way to the convention. So what does that mean? He'll have influence, right?
Well, he will, but here's the big part, I think, of this whole Clinton-Sanders thing. Tonight, the Clinton campaign said, he has to decide, is he going to act like a Republican, you know, doing these saying these things against Hillary Clinton? But Bernie's got a movement behind him that he just can't stop. And so I think it is going to be, I don't think he's going to get the nomination. I think Hillary Clinton really has to have a heart-to-heart with herself and decide how she reacts to Bernie Sanders, because if Bernie Sanders people stay home, and it's Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, or John Kasich, either one of those three are going to be president of the United States against Hillary if Bernie's people stay home. So this is, to me, more important of how Hillary Clinton approaches all of this versus what states she wins from here on out.
Yeah, interesting. You know, they did an exit poll, 72% of, which they always do, 72% of the New York Republicans want the primary winner as the nominee. That's what they're saying.
Right, exactly.
Not surprising.
And for Trump, like I said, this takes, you know, a completely different look now to it. And Ted Cruz will have Ted Cruz is banking now on Indiana in May. You know, he's banking on Washington State, very conservative. Let's give Washington State and Indiana to him. There is still California where, I don't know, I can't imagine Ted Cruz beating Donald Trump in California. They're just not that type of Republicans out there.
Here's a couple of interesting comments that were heard around the water cooler, we'll say, or outside of the balloting. Trump Jr. said the delegate system feels like communist China, while Congressman Pete King said, I'll take cyanide if Cruz is nominated. What do you think?
I know Pete. I know Congressman King well. He might not take cyanide, but he might, you know, try to throw a punch at Ted Cruz. Yeah, Ted Cruz just has some enemies. I don't think this is done, but wow, you know, the delegate system, and I know Trump's upset with Wyoming, et cetera, but he will move on now because Insight is a good April, and he California, that's it. California has got to be the Trump fixation because that is what is going to take him into that convention.
Yeah, boy, it's really interesting. And here's the big question. Do you think because of everything that's happened that we've talked about now for the last couple of years, let's face it, do you think we're going to see a super big turnout on Election Day in November?
You know, what I'm hearing from all of my friends both sides is I'm not going to vote. No, I'm not going to vote. I think it's going to be huge, to quote Trump. I think it's going to be a major turnout. I don't believe people saying, well, you know, if Trump's the nominee, I don't vote, or if Hillary's the nominee, I don't vote. I think at the end of all of this, the level of maybe disgust is going to be great, but the level of turnout, I think, will be large because people are going to want to stop one of the other, depending on who's running against each other.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with you. In the meantime, back in Washington, you know, it's politics as usual. The Supreme Court, as you know, a couple of big things are kind of in their wheelhouse, but still we have no replacement for Scalia, and there hasn't been any movement. Do you just think that that's how it's going to stand, and whoever becomes president next, because of the politics of the day, is going to ultimately have that turn to nominate, you know, pick somebody, nominate somebody, and see if they get approved?
Well, I think it's going to turn out that way, Kate, but I will, you know, give a warning to the Senate Republicans in races like Rob Portman of Ohio, Senator Kirk over in Illinois, you know, some other races. There's five critical races. This thing is bubbling to the top about not even having a hearing on nominees. Of course, once they have a hearing, it's hard to stop anything. So I think it's going to remain lame until after November. But I think the Senate may pay a price for this. The Republicans may lose a couple of seats potentially over this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob Ney, always fun to have you on. Thanks so much for hanging late with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, so you heard what Bob had to say. What's your two cents on all of this? 855-266-5283. I loved his analogy. The gold is in California. So, wow. How about that? You know, Trump's convention manager is saying, listen, there's not going to be a second ballot. So now the conversation is turning a bit without a question. The, you know, is the outlook for Trump, is it still murky? Is it ask again later if we had the magic eight ball and we were shaking it and asking the question? I mean, this is still a big New York win for Trump and for Clinton. But what is the power play? Is it really California? I think Bob makes a great point. What happens in California when you think of what's at stake and the craziness of the delegates and how every single state is different, how they count? Certainly, the Golden State plays a big part in this. I mean, and how far will the Republican establishment guys go to stop Trump from getting that nomination? That still is the very big question. We're going to talk about that, plus floods and earthquakes. Oh, my. The people in Ecuador and the people in Houston have something in common. I'll tell you what next.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believes so strongly in gold that he changed gold ownership forever by bringing back physical gold to the American public, allowing gold coins to be minted and sold to U.S. citizens just like you, starting in 1985. Gold ownership can help protect your financial future, especially when our national debt is spiraling out of control. Many smart Americans have kept their retirements from being wiped out during America's financial crisis thanks to physical gold coins. I strongly urge you to call the U.S. Money Reserve at 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a special gold guide with new, never-before-released information about gold from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. I'm Michael Reagan. Thank you.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up, turn it on, shake it up.
Regrouping, talking about what just happened in New York, plus some of what I think is horrific of what is happening to people on the suffering side. Mother Nature can be so cruel. And when we talk about cruelty, boy, the people in Houston, Texas has gotten smashed with massive amounts of rain and certainly flooding in a lot of areas. But it seems that Houston has gotten it the worst. I mean, we're talking about now they found yet another person who has died as they go about searching. This sixth person was found more than a foot of rain. I mentioned this in a previous show, but you had a reporter that actually saved a man from some of the floods that were overtaking him while he was doing a TV live shot. So good for the guy for helping. But, boy, it is unbelievable the amount of rain that has come down and what it's done. You think of all the rivers and the bodies of water that are in that area, Houston and San Antonio, etc. So it's the sixth person confirmed. The Houston mayor, Sylvester Turner, said, "There's nothing I can say that's going to ease the frustration. We certainly can't control the weather." And that's it. Can't control Mother Nature. flash flooding and a 50% chance of more were possible on Tuesday, and everybody was clenching, just praying that was going to happen, because 18 inches fell in 24 hours. Scores of subdivisions flooded. Most schools closed. Houston's Metropolitan Transit resumed service midway through Tuesday. Most highways were finally opened again, but it's bad, and it just depends on where you are. They call it gumbo, meaning soft soil. So they've got this soft soil and this big population boom. They've turned empty-ish kind of pastures into housing developments all over the suburbs, and it makes it very vulnerable to high water. Understanding it better makes sense to me now as to why people are in the situation that they're in. So the question is this engineering? Could they have done something better? And they say, really, no, not unless they had talked about some kind of alterations, maybe 35 to 40 years ago, because they don't have adequate green space for water runoff, or some of them do, but not all of them do, and this is part of the problem. So the planning of this and the sustainability, boy, oh boy, the damage from these flash floods. You know, this is a city that had 90,000 people last year. It's a major cog. So you've got people wondering, boy, we are so vulnerable here. We are so vulnerable to this weather because of what's going on with the no floodplain and all this excess water. So Houston, the worst. We move from the floods to what's happened in Ecuador. While you were sleeping, it wasn't too long ago that Ecuador was rocked to the core by a deadly earthquake. And they're still digging out from this earthquake. Rescuers are just racing to find survivors from the quake, or they were. And it was so much worse than originally thought. As we took the show to Ecuador, you know, we went to Guayaquil and we were in a couple of different other areas. So what happened is they say it's one of the strongest earthquakes in decades, and it's flattened towns, killed at least 433 people. People that were trapped. There's been people that have been trapped underneath rubble. And they've rescued them, which is amazing. 36 hours. There was a story about a guy who was trapped for 36 hours. The quake over the weekend, Saturday, 7.8. Wow, 7.8. So you got teams all over the place looking for dozens of people that are still missing. You know, they have this one city there, Manta. There was 50 rescue workers with trained dogs, hydraulic jacks, and they managed to free 8 people trapped for about 32-some hours. They were there stuck after a shopping center collapse, but the amazing part is they rescued them. How amazing is that? That's the best word I can use, that you've got these people that survived. So that's why the rescue was so key to get there as fast as possible. The U.S. is sending a bunch of experts, and they're sending 100,000 in assistance. They've just tried to, you know, the president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa, has spent the last couple of days just touring these flattened towns. And he said the quake had caused $3 billion in damage and 3% of gross domestic product. And rebuilding would take years. It's just going to be an incredibly long, long battle. And, you know, Ecuador, as we found out in our trip to Guayaquil, is one of those places that's the haves and the have-nots, certainly. So it's not a country that really gives a leg up to the super poor in that area. And that's a scary thing when you think of these makeshift shift camps and whatnot that are now in these other neighborhoods. It makes the plight of the super poor, I think, even worse for the country of Ecuador. So keep them in your thoughts, and the people of Houston, too, because it is rough sliding in both of those areas. Absolutely. We move on from that and talk. We're going to talk more about what's happened in New York and the significance of New York and the fact that Corey Lewandowski stays in the Trump shakeup and that Trump's trying to change things around. Some of the, I won't say some of the imagery, just, you know, the staff changes. It's kind of what happens when you get this deep into a campaign. We really see it with everybody. But these are big, big wins for both Clinton and Trump. And how wild would it be? I know we've talked about this before. All seriousness, if it comes down to Trump and Hillary Clinton, I mean, can you imagine two basic de facto, well, he's a New Yorker and she is a sort of New Yorker, adopted New Yorker, that are going head to head? Would you have ever thought this up? And the answer is no. You would not have thought of this. If I said, what do you think is the impossible candidate? You just wouldn't have said that. You wouldn't have said, oh, I think one day we're going to see Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Yeah, they're going to be, for their respective parties, they're going to be the nominees. That's who we're going to see crash up against each other and then let the voters sort it out. I don't think so. I don't think this is what we would have thought. I said to someone the other day, or actually they said to me, they flipped it around, you know, those great what-if questions. What if anybody that you liked could run? Who would you pick? Who would you pick? I jokingly said, Captain Obvious. And the answer is, what I think we should see in a president, I don't know. I would have to, I know whoever it is would be somebody who wouldn't run, because it wouldn't be a political person. I can tell you that already. Not somebody who's part of the system. I don't think so. I think it would be somebody who's an idealist, somebody who is a uniter, but not afraid to say, this is how, you know, this is what's happening, and I'm not backing down, and I'm taking the heat. If it's a screw-up, it's me. And whether or not I have, of course, I have the cabinet around me, and if this is just one branch of government, but I'm going to take responsibility. I like those people. I like the loyal people, the people who stand up, the people who are authentic, the real authentic, not the fake. Ooh, we like authentic people. And I'm not sure who that would be. Would it be someone from the business world that I respect, who's reached out beyond traditional business? Maybe. A real innovator? Maybe. You may have even a better answer. 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. If you're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu, I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Little Rock, Arkansas, Saturday, May 14th, 1 p.m. Go to www.cdocinarkansas.com. That's cdocinarkansas.com.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believed so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-GOLD.
East, oh my goodness, and there is nothing but really, really sordid questions, I think, when it comes to the Saudis, when it comes to the Middle East in general. We talk about the quicksand, that is. Dan Perkins is an Islamic historian, terrorist analyst, and a contributor to ReaganBaby.com, TheDailySurge.com, and TheHill.com, among many things that Dan does. And, of course, we know that he's the writer of The Brotherhood of the Red Nile trilogy, which centers around, of course, Islamic nuclear terrorism. We've talked about his books. They're absolutely terrific. Dan, as always, thanks for popping on the show.
You're one of my favorite people to talk to.
Awesome. Love that. So the president and this deal setting foot on the sands of the Middle East, as I say, I like to just collectively talk about it that way. There are obviously a lot of inherent dangers here with him landing in Riyadh. Let's talk about them.
Well, I think that he's really, in the terms of his presidency, he is really at a point where he is really between the rock and the hard place. Because the last time he went to visit the old king, he bowed and kissed his ring. The speculation is, will he do the same thing for the new king? And he's going there under a tremendous amount of pressure in the United States for two things that apparently the Saudis don't want to have happen. One, they don't want the president to release the 28-page blank report, part of the 9/11 commission, that may or may not implicate the Saudis in that. And number two, they're more concerned about this legislation in the Congress that would take the 1976 Terrorism Act and apply it to Saudi Arabia if, in fact, the 28 pages show that they were the royal family or the government was complicit in the attack on the World Trade Centers. And and the Pentagon.
Yeah, which is, you know, is huge news, and obviously in the last couple of weeks that's been eye-popping about, what about the 28 pages? What does your gut tell you? We know, and we've had people on the show to talk about this, that, okay, we can't say, but will it implicate the Saudis? And the answer from my sources is, of course, yes, it will implicate them. And to your point, this is why they're concerned about the release of the pages. So that was why that didn't happen in the first place, right?
Yeah, and I as I said before we came on, I just had a piece on the Clash Daily saying that really what this is blackmail on the part of the Saudis against the President of the United States. And, you know, they're talking about, the Saudis talking about puffing out their chest. Well, we'll sell $750 billion of assets. We'll show America. Well, you know, our wonderful president has taken our outstanding treasury debt to almost $20 trillion, so... best research I can find is that the entirety of OPEC, including Saudi Arabia, only has about $200 billion worth of treasury debt for all of OPEC. So whatever they're going to sell, first of all, they probably need the cash for liquidity purposes because their oil revenue is way down. It's down 20% less than it was last year. And so their budget's in serious trouble. They can't provide for their people. And so they're maybe using this as a cover to raise cash. But $750 billion, while it's a lot of money, in the relative scheme of things, it's not a lot of money, given the dispersity of cash, real estate, which is the bulk of the money, is not going to be sold overnight. I've been asking this question, Kate. Do the Saudis already know what's in the papers?
Yes, and it's interesting. That's the very first thing I thought when the story came out. You know, you talk about blackmail, intimidation, and is this what the Saudis are doing? I think they know.
Right.
I think they know what's in there. I do. So then the question becomes, well, who gave them that information?
Well, if you understand that the 28 pages are down in the bowels of the U.S. Capitol under special security, that only people with certain congressmen and senators with certain classified clearances can go into the room. They can't take any recorders, newsprint, paper, nothing. All they can do is read it and put it back under supervision. So it must be something very, very serious to afford it that kind of security. But that, you're right, that doesn't mean, and it's my concern, is that the Saudis already know that, why they're trying to stop it. I think the other problem that's going on there is that the Saudis are really, truly quite angry at the president because of what he did with the Iran nuclear agreement. He's trying to shift the power from the Sunnis of Saudi Arabia to the Shiites, which are the actual minority of the Muslims, but control the Iran government and the country to a Shiite tribe. And one has to ask the question, why is he doing that? Why is he favoring the minority of the Muslim faith over the majority? Well, one could ask the question, maybe that's what he is.
Oh, and boy, would that not be, that would be the culmination, the tipping point of the outrage of so many people in this country, and some of it dismisses, oh, that's just kooky and nutty and whatever. If there was a way to prove that point, that would be a lot of dominoes, Dan, I think, falling.
Yeah, but I also think, Kate, I also think that if you look at the situation, you really have to begin to examine, why did the president want to make this trip?
Yep.
He wasn't invited by the kingdom. He asked to come.
Mm.
And what is his objective? And I find it very suspicious. I think that he's going there to tell them, you know, as he said before, American imperialism has had you under control for such a long period of time. We're going to protect you in this situation. But the problem, Kate, is what are the political ramifications of the President of the United States working against the American people, especially those people who lost family members in the 9/11 attack? There's a precedent here, again, which most people aren't talking about, Kate, and that is there was a court case that was won in January this year where people were victims of terrorist attacks in Iraq were awarded $10.5 billion settlement for those claims because Iraq was declared to be a terrorist nation. And so the Saudis do not want to get tagged with this. So one really leads to the other, Kate. If there's an implication in the 28-page document that, in fact, that the Saudi government was complicit in the attack on the United States, then they have to be declared as a terrorist nation, which then kicks in the second part of this deal, which is the agreement, can American family members sue the Saudi government? It's a big deal. But how does he deal with that with Mrs. Clinton running as the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party when she's been so adamant in total support of what the president's done across the board? How does she distance herself from that one?
Yeah. Yeah, difficult, because you're right, I don't know how you do that. And you know, while this is happening, I was just reading a story about this, you know, on the dollars and cents of it all, and for the first time in, what, a quarter of a century, Iran, if you look at what's happening with Saudi Arabia, and she said they're not happy about what happened in our dealings with Iran, but what's the deal with Saudi Arabia taking out $10 billion in bank loans?
Well, it's the problem. We talked about this last year. And you talked to so many people, you probably don't remember the conversation. But I was saying that the shortage of revenue is putting tremendous pressure on the operating budget. If you're a Saudi citizen, you don't work. You get paid off of the oil revenue.
Yeah.
And so the shortage of revenue last year put the Saudi budget 25% in deficit. They lost 25% of the gross domestic product of the country of Saudi Arabia because of the decline in oil prices. Add, as I said a few moments ago, another 20% to that. So money is a very short commodity. The $10 billion is a five-year term loan, hoping that oil prices will go back up. But the International Monetary Fund says if oil prices stay in the $40 to $50 range, Russia will be physically bankrupt in 18 months and Saudi Arabia another 18 months behind that, because they will not have the resources to pay their bills. And, you know, it seems so strange, it's almost counterintuitive, that one of the largest oil reserve nations in the world is going to run out of money and going to go bankrupt in probably 3 years. But it could happen.
Yeah,
so they definitely need money.
Yeah, and yeah, I saw a piece, I don't know if it was Vice or somebody had done it, and they show that there's like poverty. There's these people that are buried behind the scenes that they don't want you to necessarily see because of what you just said, because of the fact that the Saudis don't work and they're poor. There are people that are poor, and they haven't, they don't show that.
Think about this, the political ramification of the President of the United States agreeing to the terms of the Iranian settlement, which gave them $150 billion in cash. Last year, when the Saudi government was short, this is very strange, but the revenue shortfall for the Saudi government last year was $150 billion, exactly the same amount of money that we gave to Iran when they settled the terms and the conditions. So Iran is $150 billion richer with cash. Saudi Arabia was $150 billion short in the hole last year and probably going to be close to $200 billion short this year. So they look at all the money that Iran got from the president. A lot of tension there between the Saudi leadership and the president.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, fascinating stuff. Dan Perkins, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on, Kate. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Yes, she's coming to dinner time.
She's welcome to get together.
Howdy, folks. Pharmacist Ben here, nutritional pharmacist and skincare chemist. If you've heard me on my daily health and wellness program, The Bright Side, you know I'm on a mission to spread the good news about the power of nutritional supplementation to correct your healthcare challenges and get you feeling vital and healthy once again. I want you to call 877-279-9422 and check out the powerful, affordable line of nutritional products from Youngevity, the ones I take and the ones I recommend. That's 877-279-9422 or go to www.gcnminerals.com. Why simply mask your symptoms with toxic pharmaceutical drugs when you can address causes with vitamins and minerals? I suggest the Healthy Start Pack. It gives your body the essential 90 nutrients it needs. Most people notice a difference right away. You can sign up to help me spread the good news of health and wellness without drugs and maybe make a little money too. And while you're there, don't forget to check out my important video message. That's gcnminerals.com or call 877-279-9422. And remember, friends, good nutrition is good medicine.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Future returns not indicative of future results.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Thrilled to have Dr. Joseph Castleberry on with us. He has such an incredible record. It would take us half the show to go through it, but he is the president of Northwest University. He has a Master's of Divinity, a degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and a Doctor of Education degree in International Education Development from Columbia University. Hey, before we dive into the president and immigration, Dr. Castleberry, and welcome to the show, you spent some time, I know, in Ecuador, and I spent some time there. It's just terrible to see what's happening with the people in light of that earthquake, huh?
Oh, absolutely. This is a really deadly earthquake, and it's caused incredible damage. Of course, Ecuador has been reeling from more than a decade of left-wing government, and it's kind of a testy relationship with the United States, and this is just more insult to injury.
Yeah, absolutely. So certainly our thoughts and prayers are with those people, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I spent some time in Guayaquil and Quito and some of those other areas, but boy, very, very rough stuff. Hey, the Supreme
Court. Well, it's
one
of the most beautiful countries on the planet.
Yes.
There's
yes.
no place more interesting
yes.
than Ecuador for a vacation, but it's a little shaky right now.
I agree. Absolutely. Galapagos Islands, if you go out off of there, too. Incredible. So the Supreme Court, obviously looking pretty divided with the oral arguments in this case that's challenging the president's executive actions on immigration. And what was really, I think, interesting is Justice Kennedy, who is not you know, he's usually the swing guy, the swing voter. He's lining up with Texas and the 25 other states, or so it seems, arguing that the president, quite frankly, overstepped his executive authority in granting the deferred deportation that we've talked about a lot here on America Tonight. I spent some time with the Border Patrol to nearly 5 million immigrants. So your thoughts on this? Are we seeing the president being really tested here on an important issue?
Well, absolutely so. I mean, there's no more important issue in the country than the status of almost 12 million people who are here without documentation and not here legally. And it's a huge problem. And I sympathize with both sides on this one. I am an immigration advocate. In my book, The New Pilgrims, How Immigrants Are Renewing America's Faith and Values, I make a strong case for why we ought to welcome these immigrants to the United States. At the same time, the law is clearly on the side of Texas on this. In my view, there's prosecutorial discretion has always that's always part of the president's rights. He can decide which people he's going to prosecute and which ones he's not going to. But he can't change the laws, and he himself knows that. That was his posture for the early years of his presidency, and in 2011 he stated forthrightly to Univision that he did not have the power to change the law and couldn't stop deporting the immigrants. And then after his political capital was no longer on the line, he was reelected as president. He decided he would push his powers past what he knew was possible, and now he's getting hurt for it in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, obviously, and you know, the heart of the argument is the states are saying that they would be burdened having to spend more money on public services, health care, law enforcement, education, that kind of thing. And as you say, you're an immigration advocate, so how, just taking this issue in a sort of a different direction here, moving away from the legal for a second, how do we do that in this country? How do we embrace that? How do we help the people?
Well, we got to understand that we're helping them on one hand, but on the other hand, they're helping us. 70% of agricultural workers in the United States are immigrants, and the great majority of them are here without documentation because our laws don't allow for temporary workers to come and do agricultural jobs and then go home. So if they come to the jobs, they have to stay. So we do need their labor, and we need their population, because half of all economic growth is tied to population growth. And without immigrants in the United States, we would have a sub-replacement growth, population growth. We need immigrants to keep our population just slightly growing to help us keep our economy moving forward. And having people is a good thing, and immigrants certainly provide them.
Yeah, do you see, because this is like the hot potato that just keeps getting passed around, I've been talking about this since I've jumped on the air. We've seen through a couple of different presidencies that, in a way, while we'll hear all this heavy rhetoric and there'll be discussions about various aspects of the problems, nothing really seems to change that much, do you think?
Right, because there are vested interests to keep them like they are. On the political scale, both the Democrats and the Republicans have been using this as a political issue that helps them win their base. Democrats like this issue because they're able to look magnanimous, and of course there's good conscience on their part to say they think immigrants are good. Republicans are using it because they know that their base is very strongly working class folks and who feel threatened by immigration, and they're using that pretty cynically mostly to rally their voters. So that's not the only thing, but there are other interests as well. I mean, the business community is making a good living off illegal immigrants, and they want to keep it like it is. And the government, on the other hand, is, you know, there are 10 million false Social Security accounts that people are paying taxes into but will never pull any out of. That helps keep the Social Security system afloat. So there are all kinds of reasons to just leave it like it is. The problem is it's not fair, and it isn't American.
So do you see this? Do you see this hot potato, as we're talking about it? And I think I agree with you. I think it's the number one issue, a very important issue that we're obviously dealing with in the United States. This just goes to the next president, doesn't it?
Well, Absolutely so, and this it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because there's no question Hillary Clinton will push through a bill through the Congress to legalize the situation of these people, and that's what needs to happen. On the other hand, Donald Trump may do the same thing, because I don't believe he is sincere in his fiery rhetoric against immigrants.
Yeah, and as somebody who spent so much time, and you see the other side of this, I've talked about it on the show, having been in, you know, Central America and South America and watched some of what's happened to the people. You know, you spent time, with a missionary service in Latin America. You spent years in El Salvador. And what's it like for those people?
Oh, it's for kids on the street, it's terrible. You go down there and kids are you know, having to beg on the streets or sell things, and you know, child labor is the law of the land, essentially. The kids have to work like that to survive. There's trouble from the drug traffickers, there's gangs. You know, the gangs essentially rule the countryside in El Salvador, and those are gangs that we exported from the United States. You know, Salvadorans came here during the Civil War as refugees, so they moved to Los Angeles in huge numbers. They got co-opted into the gangs, and then we deported the gangs back to El Salvador, and now they've taken over huge parts of the country and have control of the legal political system. So it's a disaster, and a lot of children are wanting to get out of it, because some of their parents have come to the United States. They want to rejoin their parents, and they will, little children, even 5-6 years old, will cross Mexico and Guatemala and Mexico to come to the United States to find their parents. And it's a terrible situation. It's one that we need to really get serious about addressing.
Yeah, absolutely. But as you know, it's so politicized. You know, you're either right of right, left of left. You're in between, looking for a shelter somewhere. What happened to the days when, no matter what your belief was ideologically, you could still have that conversation? I don't know. Where did it go, Dr. Castleberry?
Well, we went away slowly. That's what happened. We started compromising on all kinds of values of that our country has held dear. And, when you compromise your values over and over and over again, pretty soon you wind up in a place you didn't expect to get. And it's never a good one. But we used to talk about the country being polarized between right and left. It's been drawn and quartered now.
Yeah,
about a quarter
true.
Of the population want Bernie Sanders. About a quarter of the population want Donald Trump. About a quarter want Hillary Clinton. And about a quarter want anybody but Donald Trump. And the country's, it's not just divided two ways, it's divided four ways, and we could go into more detail about why those divisions exist, but, we're going to have to find something to agree upon here pretty soon, or the country's going to be ripped apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Sad state of affairs, for sure. Dr. Castleberry, you were terrific. We'd love to have you back on again. Thanks for stopping by.
Anytime. Thanks, Kate.
Boy said you were a youth waker, a stormy little world shaker.
When fresh liquid whey is processed into a dry powder, the special proteins that make up the whey lose their original shapes. They fold in on themselves and lose their functional value. One World Whey undergoes a technological enhancement that we believe restores these potent proteins back to their original shapes the body can use.
I chose to try One World Whey first before going to a doctor who would likely only prescribe drugs. To my delight, it worked. After stabbing pain for years, to have it completely gone is a miracle. I'd like to also stress that, for me, it took several months of taking One World Whey before I had improvement, and then an entire year for my gut to feel 100% healed. So now I tell my friends, give your body time to make use of the healing power of One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.